Ishai, the sages, Ucha, said, Na, not, Vayam, we, Bhagavan, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vidma, did not know, Tava, Yo, Deva, O Lord, Chikshitam, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, K.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The four Brahmana sages were nevertheless extremely delighted to behold Him, and they experienced a thrill throughout their bodies. They then spoke as follows to the Lord, who had revealed them the multi-glories of the Supreme Personality through His eternal potency, Yogamaya. The sages said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are unable to know You, what You intend for us to do. For even though You are the Supreme Ruler of all, You speak in our favor as if we had done something good for You. This is actually Shlokas 15 and 6. The sages were almost too puzzled to speak before the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the first time. The hairs of their bodies stood erect due to their extreme joy. The highest opulence in the material world is called Parmeshta and Parmeshya, the opulence of Brahma. But that material opulence of Brahma, who lives on the topmost planet within this material world, cannot compare to the opulence of the Supreme Lord, because the transcendental opulence in the spiritual world is caused by Yogamaya, whereas the opulence in the material world is caused by Mahamaya. The sages could understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is above everyone, was speaking as if He were in the wrong. Therefore, it was difficult for them to understand the words of the Lord. They could understand, however, that the Lord was speaking in such a humble way, just to show them His all-merciful favor. Translation: the four Brahmana sages were nevertheless extremely delighted to behold Him, and they experienced a thrill throughout their bodies. They then spoke as follows to the Lord, who had revealed the multi-glories of the Supreme Personality through His eternal potency, Yogamaya. The sages said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are unable to know what You intend for us to do. Even though You are the Supreme Ruler of all, You speak in our favor as if we had done something good for You. The Brahma bodies, those personalities who choose to absorb themselves in the energy of the Lord, the internal energy of the Lord. There are different categories of Brahma bodies. Most of them are attracted to the impersonal energy of the Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, and they wish to just remain there. They don't wish to engage in any relationship with the Lord. They just want to be silent meditators. Some Mayavadis actually merge into the abode of the Lord, the Vaikunthas, and some even enter into the body of the Lord. Although generally most they go to the Brahma Jyoti. The Brahma bodies are not considered to be envious of the Lord. Unlike the Maya bodies who are simply envious of the Lord. They're envious of Krishna. They want to be as good as Krishna, but they can't be. So then they decide that Krishna does not really exist. It's just one solid mass of energy. And that everyone is part of that, and everyone is equal, including Krishna. The Brahmavadis, because they're not envious of the Lord, with the right association, they can actually advance into a personal relationship with the Lord. Shanta, Dasha, Sakya. They can enter into a personal relationship with the Lord if they get the right association. So in the case of the four Kumaras, they had taken birth from Lord Brahma, and they were renounced from the beginning. They had no interest to take up any unnecessary entanglement in the material world. So they immediately wanted to say goodbye to Lord Brahma. But still, they had the good fortune to be able to hear good instructions about the personality of Godhead from Lord Brahma. So they became a little more advanced. They didn't actually reach the platform of personal realization at that time, but they became a little more advanced. So they were free to wander throughout the material and the spiritual worlds. Of course, the spiritual realm is unlimited. It cannot, we say that the material worlds are one quarter of the spiritual world, so this is just a rough definition. All of these material worlds come out of the body of Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu, it's just one particular size in comparison with the planets. That even if you take all the material worlds millions of times over, the whole spiritual nature, it cannot even make up one fraction of these one Vaikuntha planet. And so on, all the Vaikuntha planets together, they cannot come to the size of Ayodhya. And if Ayodhya is manifested many times over, it cannot reach the size of Dwarka, and so on. So anyway, the sages, the four Kumaras, they were free to wander in the material world and in the spiritual world. But their free to wander was to wander through the Brahma Jyoti, because they had no access to the personal aspect of the abode of the Lord. But like I said, they were getting good association. From time to time they would go to their father, and they would sit with other sages, and they would hear their father, Lord Brahma, speaking transcendental subject matter, and some attraction came there for the personality of Godhead. Not very much, but enough to cause their further advancement. So somehow, Lord Vishnu, Narayana, he had developed a desire that he wanted to enjoy some wrestling activities. But none of his devotees were willing to engage in such activities. After all, he's Supreme Narayan, Supreme Lord, the King of Kings. How could anyone think of striking the body of the Lord? But two of his guards, who were the guards over the first gates of Vaikuntha, the innermost gates, Jai and Vijay, they were willing to accept the Lord's proposal. They didn't actually go to the Lord and say, oh, we're willing to fight with you. But they were of that mood. that we're willing to render this service to you. And Lord understood this. So by the Lord's desire, the Kumaras, who had been making steady advancement into the personal realization of the Lord out of the Brahmavadi realization, they were wandering through the spiritual world when they came across one of the Vaikuntha planets. So they were very surprised to see this opulent place. And so they started to enter, and they went through 6 gates, massive gates. Actually, it was going on and on and on for a tremendous distance. But they were passing without any interference until they reached the 7th gate. And the guards there, who happened to be Jai and Vijay, they stopped them and said, "You can't just wander in here without permission." So the sages became very angry, because they were very anxious. All of the time, their love for the Lord was increasing as they entered into Vaikuntha. First they had heard from Lord Brahma and other sages, so they got the association. Now they were actually entering the abode, so they were getting the blessings of the abode and the blessings of the residents of Vaikuntha. So they were getting more and more excited that through the last door we'll come to the palace of Lord Narayan, and then we'll actually be able to have his darshan. So they were very excited. So when they were stopped by Jaya and Vijaya, they became very disappointed. Their desire was interrupted, and anger arose. This is the normal situation. When one cannot attain his desired object, comes anger. So they became angry with the guards, Jaya and Vijaya, and were ready to curse them. And Jaya and Vijaya, they immediately became conscious of what they had done. After all, by the potency, Yogamaya potency, they had stopped the sages. Otherwise, normally, they wouldn't do this. They were very intimate servitors of the Lord. They were guarding the very innermost gate. So they were very intimate servants. They would never dream to stop the Brahmanas, who they knew were very dear to Vishnu. And besides that, no demons can enter into Vaikuntha. So nobody would be coming to offend the Lord there. So they had no reason to stop them. But they did. And immediately they realized, oh, we've made a big mistake here. And now we're going to be cursed, because we're envious of the Lord. Envious of the Lord means that we're envious of the Lord's devotees. So they were envious of the devotees, that they were moving freely, rushing to see the Lord, and they wanted to stop them and show their own power. No, you can't just rush and see the Lord without our permission. So they wanted to exhibit their power, which was against the mood of devotion. They were interrupting somebody else's devotional mood. So this is offense. Anything which interrupts the mood of devotion is aparad. You have to be very careful. We disturb a devotee's mind, and in turn, that prevents that devotee being able to perform his devotional service peacefully. Then we're actually offending, ultimately, Srimati Radha, because she is the supreme potency of devotion to the Lord. Aparad, that offense which is against Radharani, is against the potency of devotional service to Krishna. So to interrupt somebody's devotional service is the greatest offense. And because of that, one's own devotional service gets interrupted. For who knows how long? According to the degree of offense, according to the degree of maliciousness within the heart of the offender, one will lose one's opportunity to remember Krishna for some indefinite period of time. So Jaya and Vijaya, they behave like this, but immediately they realize, oh, what are we doing? We're sending these great personalities who are rushing to Srinivasa. So then conversation continued between them. And Narayan, who was sitting enjoying being served by so many different Lakshmis, he immediately rose up and started rushing there, because he had promised that he would always protect his devotees. And here were two devotees, two sets of devotees, arguing with each other. And he didn't want to see his devotees Jaya and Vijaya be ruined. So he rushed there before much more could happen. And immediately started speaking sweetly to the four sages. And he explains very carefully to them that anyone who offends my devotee offends me. He considers that it is his offense. After all, the devotees are the servants of the Lord. They're the servants of Krishna. When a servant commits an offense, the master has to also accept some of that offense. So he was very disturbed that his servants had disturbed these Brahmana sages. We have to try to understand from this chapter, this very important chapter of Bhagavatam, which describes very clearly just how important the devotees are to Krishna, how dear they are. Now the Lord, every day he sits and eats wonderful foodstuffs, but he actually relishes more when his devotee is eating. When his devotee is feeling satisfaction from eating, the Lord becomes very satisfied. When the devotee is happy, the Lord becomes very happy. This is how much the Lord is attached to the devotee. So naturally, when the devotee is offended, the Lord becomes very offended. Naturally, when he becomes very offended, he wants nothing to do with that person who is the offender. It pushes him far away. He wants nothing to do with him. Immediately, Bhakti Devi cuts off. Does not go near that person. And that person is totally put under the control of Maya Devi. But she also doesn't want to touch that person. She also doesn't want that thankless job. So she just puts that person under ignorance. Just into darkness. So we have to be very, very careful. On the one side, we have to be very careful to understand this essence of all instructions, that devotional service is available through the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Only. I was just speaking to my wife this morning about one person who used to live in Vrindavan. Very famous person, Shukmuni. He was a Brahmavadi, and he knew the entire four Vedas by heart. As a young boy, he was alone in the world, and he came in contact with one sadhu who was very learned in the Vedas, and that sadhu taught him the Vedas when he was a very young boy, and he learned the four Vedas by heart. He could recite all four Vedas. And he carried on later to teach the Vedas, had many students all over India, and became very famous. Now Srila Prabhupada, when he was living in Vrindavan, he didn't used to visit very many persons. I remember when I first went to Vrindavan, you would meet people all over the place. Oh, I knew your spiritual master, I knew your spiritual master. But as soon as you spoke to them a little bit, you could understand that they did not know him. And Prabhupada told us that he used to visit very few people. But for some period of time unknown to me, Prabhupada would take an afternoon walk from Radha Damodar and would go to Shokmuni Ashram, where this Shokmuni used to live. At about 4 o'clock, they used to meet together for tea, even though there was no tea. And Prabhupada would spend about 15 minutes speaking with him. Later on, when I met this Shokmuni, he said, yes, that your Prabhupada he knew Krishna. He said, we know all the Vedas, but he knew Krishna. So we should not think that we can just learn so many shastras, learn so many techniques of puja, learn so many wonderful forms of cooking or playing madanga and whatever, kirtan. If we don't get the grace of the Vaishnavas, we'll never know Krishna. Whatever we may seem to be, but we will not know Krishna. Krishna is available by the grace of the Vaishnavas. And Lord Chaitanya went to South India, came to one place where there were many persons who were learned in the Bhagavad Gita. They knew the Bhagavad Gita inside out, they could chant the slokas, they could break down all the words into so many different meanings. And one of their godbrothers, he was not a learned person in their estimation, because he could not chant the slokas of the Bhagavad Gita clearly. And yet he was always seen to be crying, because he had understood that here is Krishna and Arjuna, such intimate friends. The Lord is so merciful to his friends, so intimately connected, that he is taking the reins of a chariot and driving Arjuna. He's accepting instructions from Arjuna, go this way, go that way, do this. Water the horses. So when Lord Chaitanya came across this person, he said, yes, all these learned persons can chant the Gita so nicely, but they do not understand Krishna because they have not received the actual grace of the Vaishnava. If we want to actually enter into a relationship with Krishna, if we actually want to attain devotional service, then we must attain the mercy of the Vaishnava. We must learn how dear the Vaishnavas are to Krishna. We must actually understand when he's saying that when the Vaishnava is happy, I'm happy. When he is fed nicely, I feel completely satisfied. And if we understand this, then we can also understand that if we offend somebody who is very dear to someone else, they will become very offended. So devotional service is available by the grace of the Vaishnavas, by serving the Vaishnavas, by attaining the association of the Vaishnavas, hearing from the Vaishnavas. Not simply the dry reputation, but actually hearing the realizations. Prabhupada told us that here are the purports, the Bhaktivedanta purports. This is what I'm giving you. Now you please speak on these. You please give your purport to these and expand it by your realizations. So this is the process of coming in contact with the Vaishnava, hearing their realizations, not trying to steal. Oh, let me hear more, let me hear more, let me become more learned. As long as that desire for becoming more learned is there, then you cannot attain bhakti. Story about the honey. It looks so nice, and one person came along and started to explain to the beekeeper that yes, this honey, you know, it contains this and that, this is why it tastes nice, because it has this ingredient, that ingredient, these elements. He was explaining the whole construction of the honey, composition. Then one bee came by and stung that man. And the beekeeper said, oh, he said, you know so much about honey, but you don't know where the honey is coming from. So what? You try to steal the realizations of a Vaishnava, you try to become more and more learned, but you will not know Krishna. You'll simply be that person who is on the outside trying to speculate about the nectar of a honey. By rendering submissive service, then what one hears from the Vaishnavas will become manifested within the heart. Realization of purpose. And the flip side of the coin is that if we offend the Vaishnavas, then we will lose that realization. Even we may still be dressed as Vaishnavas, even though we may still be able to speak very nicely, but we'll lose the actual understanding of devotion. We'll lose the mood of devotion. And we'll come up with more and more concoctions as time goes. And this is such a simple process. It's been known since time immemorial. Somebody wants to be a carpenter, they go to a qualified carpenter and they become his apprentice. And they do all kinds of menial service for that person. Why do you bring the wood, why do you clean this, you do that, bring my drink, bring my snack. Why is he doing this? Because he wants to get the blessings of a carpenter, how to actually. So if we want to learn something, if we want to become something, we have to take the association of the person who has that. Not in the mood which is predominant today all over the world, or let me somehow steal this information, then I'll become the best. Become the best. But instead I'll make it from plastic. Instead I'll do this or that. Because I'm more clever. And so in the end they never even get what they're after. They just come up with some imitation. That story when Prabhupada went to Dainippon to make a contract for printing his books. After their meeting was over, the junior executive was there collecting the cards and stuff and came to Prabhupada to present the business card to each of the executives, and Prabhupada asked him, what is your desire? What is your goal in life? And that junior executive had arranged all the business cards from the chief executives going down, five or six of them, with his on the bottom. And he was handing that to Prabhupada. Then he took the bottom card, his, and put it on the top and gave it to Prabhupada. That was his desire. He simply wanted to stand on the heads of everyone else when he had learnt. So our desire should not be that, oh, I must become the top devotee. Let me learn this from that one, and then let me try to speak so learned. Yes, and we'll get bigger and bigger, just like the balloon until it bursts. cannot keep what is stolen. You can only keep what you actually earn, what you actually receive in the descending process. So yes, memorize the focus of Bhagavatam, show off very nice, but if you do not get the grace of Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam does not reveal itself to you, then you will just be like a parrot. Prabhupada said, we don't want to be like a parrot in the mundane sense, just repeating dryly. We want to be like the parrot where we understand the essence and able to repeat that. Spiritual life is not something dry. Everyone is not imitating everyone else in the spiritual world. But they learn the mood of devotional service. And each person is offering devotional service which they've inherited from the other devotees. In their own individual way they're offering devotional service according to the mood which they've inherited. The activity is not the thing, the mood is the thing. How we're desiring to serve Krishna. How we're desiring to satisfy Krishna. How we're desiring to become the servant of the servant of the servant. So the four Kumars are also learning here. They're bewildered. They're speaking to the Lord, we don't understand what you're saying. What is it you want from us? Because now they're realizing, yes, they were rushing to see the Lord. They weren't wrong. Jai and Vijay were wrong for stopping them. But they also had no reason to become angry at the Vaishnavas. So now the Lord is coming there and saying, oh, you're more dear than my life. Rather than see your friend, or I'll chop off my arm. So they're bewildered. Oh, what is it? And as we all know, the four Kumars continue to make more and more advancements, and eventually they started their own Sampradaya, the Kumar Sampradaya, which are worshipping Radha Madhava. Nimbaka Sampradaya. We have to try to understand the Bhagavatam through the mood of the devotees, through the vision of the devotees. Try to understand that this is devotional service, manifested as the Bhagavatam. This is Radha and Krishna and all their associates, and how to serve them, all the different moods which we described in nectar devotion, all present in the Bhagavatam. But if we just dryly read through, learn the slokas, learn so many so-called aspects of the Bhagavatam, but if we don't pick up on the transcendental moods of the Bhagavatam, just see the Kumaras, Brahma bodies, they came into Vaikuntha. They came into the presence of the Lord. They immediately were manifesting ecstatic symptoms. The hairs in their body were standing up. Their bodies were trembling. As they were actually there making great advancements. And this is how to understand the great advancement taking place. We're becoming more and more absorbed in remembering Krishna. But the ecstatic symptoms are manifesting within, and even sometimes without. If this is not taking place, then we have to seek out those Vaishnavas who can help us to come to that platform of devotional service. have to advance from Sudama Bhakti to Ravinuga Bhakti, Prema Bhakti. You have to advance to the topmost platform, which is only available by the mercies of the Vaishnavas, by the descending forces. At 3:36 in the morning, every morning, when the Devishi comes and wakes up the Manjaris and tells them, why did you go and wake up Radha and Krishna? Then she goes to the Sakis and says, oh, get up, get up. Radha and Madhav are being woken up now. Then the Manjaris, they wake up Radha and Madhav, and after some time Mangalati is offered. Then they return to their abodes, Nandigram and Vasana, and Krishna jumps in his bed quickly, and then he's woken by Mother Yasoda. He goes to milk the cows, takes breakfast. Then she goes to take the cows out in the morning. Then in the midday he meets with Radha and the gopis, and they enjoy for a few hours in Radha Kunda and the surrounding area. Then again he goes back to the cowherd boys. Then they return to Nandagram. They put the cows safely in their cow sheds, milk them. Then he goes home, bathes, eats, then enjoys all kinds of performances, dramas, recitals. Eventually goes to bed. After some time he sneaks out through his window and goes to Vrindavan, and there he enjoys for the whole night with Radharani, and eventually takes rest in Nidivan. And these are the daily activities of Radha and Krishna. But so what? Just to know this is nothing. But to be able to enter in, to actually be awarded a service to Radha and Krishna, that is something. And that is available by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Not just simply knowing so many things, so many slokas, being able to explain so many things. Yet within the heart, Prema Bhakti is not arisen. See in Vrindavan, Radhi, 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 Radhi. Prabhupada never chanted like this. Why? Because he never wanted to separate Radha from Krishna. We always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Radha, Krishna. Why would we separate Radha and Krishna? Why? If one actually had realization, even in the smallest degree, of how much suffering Radharani undergoes when Krishna is separated, that the body becomes so hot that it melts the lotus stems. If one had any realization of that suffering, they would never think to separate Radha and Krishna. And yet we see some sahajas introducing different things, and we think, oh yeah, this is, yeah, we're so advanced. Advanced in devotional service means that we do not want to cause any difficulty to the Vaishnavas. We do not want to cause any difficulty to Radha and Madhava, but we want to become the servant of the servant. We want to satisfy their senses. We want to satisfy their emotions. We want to render some service which will increase their love. So yes, we can carry on speculating, thinking that we're so learned, but really we have to see, are we actually performing devotional service? Are we actually making genuine spiritual advancement, as described by Srila Rupam Goswami? Let us run to Radha Kund. After all, nectar devotion, nectar of instruction, Rupa Goswami says that there's no topmost place beyond Radha Kund. Anyone who just spends a short while there. Prabhupada said they're not bathing in Radha Kund, they're bathing in Narak Kund. Narak is hell. Bathing in Narak Kund, but no realization. Blind man wandering through a beautiful garden will trample all the wonderful flowers. Goswami has pointed out very clearly. Control the tongue, control the belly, control the genitals. Learn how to serve the Vaishnavas. Learn how to associate with the Vaishnavas. Slowly we can come to that mood of how to serve that God. How to serve that God. Oh, let me jump to the topmost. In Garadarpani would ask Lord Chaitanya, so what should we hear today from the Bhagavad? Well, let's hear that story about Prahlad Maharaj. We haven't heard that before. Oh, my Lord, we hear that every day. Why do you say we haven't heard before? Oh, then let's hear Jiva Maharaj. No, we hear that every day also. But he was showing, we don't just jump like little foggies. Oh, let me jump to the 5th, 10th canto. Yes, I can understand that. I know all these things. Have we learned the tolerance of Prahlad Maharaj? Now we haven't come to that platform, but you know, Thakur says that until one comes to the level of the 6th loka, of the 6th shastika. Nanam galada shuraya, varnam garga udaya, Kulaken chitam vapuhakara savanamagani bhavishthe. Until we actually come to that realization, tears involuntarily coming out of the remembrance of the service of the Vaishnavas, standing of the hairs, the ecstasy is so strong that we can hardly manage to perform our devotional service, and yet trying to push down those ecstasies to continue with what is important. So we can't come to the standard of Trinadabhi, which Prahlad Maharaj displayed so perfectly. And how we think we can become qualified to live in Radha Kund, to discuss the intimate pastimes of Radha Madhava, to declare that I know Bhagavatam, simply because we've learned a few hundred slokas. By the grace of the Vaishnava, that Vaishnava who has come to that platform of realization, a higher platform than what we've come to, then we can go up step by step, by steady progress. Steady progress means progress. As soon as we're just sitting, oh yes, I'm following the regulated principles, I'm chanting my 16 rounds a day, I'm going to Mangalati, it's fine. The Lord will eventually come to me and He'll become my servant and engage me. No, we have to be steadily advancing. That has to come from our desire, intense desire, to attain Krishna's service. And it's available through the Vaishnavas. And it's lost very quickly by ascending, offending those very same Vaishnavas. It's not open to speculation. Well, the Lord says this, but actually doesn't mean all Vaishnavas. Here, Brahmabad, he's coming and he's saying, yes, you're so dear to me. When you become offended, I become offended. This is my offense. Lord Shiva, who is the Mahabhagwat, is the intimate devotee, the first. If he offends a neophyte, he will fall down. He explained to Parvati very clearly. But do not think, well, because we consider some person who has just taken to the path of devotional service, so that's not so important. But if I offend such a person, I will fall down. He states this very clearly. I will fall down from devotional service. Offense means to disturb somebody's service. To disturb them in such a way that they're not able to continue their meditation, because they're not able to peacefully perform their devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Just one thing about Jagannath. Jagannath Puri is considered to be the inner chambers of Dwarka, where the Lord of Dwarka, the King of Dwarka, is absorbed in remembering Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So much so that he's ecstatically transformed, his arms shrunk in his body, his legs are shrunk in his body, his neck. Jagannath Puri is Dwarka, but the inner chambers of Dwarka. Everything in Jagannath Puri is absorbed in remembering Vrindavan.